WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart radio station.
Good morning, Orlando. Great to have you with us bright and early on a Wednesday. And here at 6, we bring you our very first look of many Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540 and on the iHeart Radio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, the governor versus the White House. Again, more in 1 minute.
That's where we begin. We're talking about monoclonal antibody treatments that folks now can't get. Patients caught in the middle. Something's wrong here. Let's talk on Good Morning Orlando.
6:02 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Governor Ron DeSantis is calling the FDA's sudden decision to remove its authorization for two monoclonal antibody treatments haphazard and reckless. The agency claims the treatments are ineffective against Omicron.
These treatments, the ones that they are fighting over, that the governor is fighting over, do not work.
But even if with Omicron it's half as effective or even 25% is effective. That's better than nothing for people. And as I've said, anecdotally, we've had people that have had their symptoms resolved.
The governor says Florida will fight the decision because he says people should have the right to access the treatments. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki calls DeSantis' position on monoclonal antibody treatments a little bit crazy.
These treatments, the ones that they are fighting over, that the governor is fighting over, do not work against Omicron, and they have side effects.
The FDA decision resulted in the closure of all state-run monoclonal antibody sites.
We're going to talk about what's happened here and who's on the right and the wrong side of this issue. Gang, be ready to weigh in as we open up the phones and the text line.
This news is brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. A COVID mandate for some 80 million workers is officially over today. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration ended it after the U.S. Supreme Court blocked the rule, but the agency says it will keep working to get big businesses to require vaccinations or tests.
I'll tell you why in a moment. I think there may be a connection between that defeat for the Biden administration and their stand on these monoclonal antibody treatments.
President Biden says he has no intention to deploy U.S. military forces to Ukraine. But talking with reporters on a shopping trip, Biden again warned of enormous consequences if Russia chooses to invade Ukraine.
This would be the largest, if he were to move in with all those forces, would be the largest invasion since World War II. It would change the world.
Russia has massed more than 100,000 troops on its border with Ukraine. Roughly 8,500 U.S. troops are on standby for possible deployment to Eastern Europe and the Baltic region. There are two SpaceX Falcon 9 launches scheduled from Cape Canaveral this week. The first one tomorrow at 6:11 p.m. for an Italian satellite designed to provide critical data and emergency risk prevention. On Saturday, a launch is set for 3 p.m. that will send more Starlink internet satellites into orbit. And just one person is getting the call to the hall from baseball writers this year.
David Ortiz, the lone selection by eligible baseball writers this year for induction into the Baseball Hall of Fame, is announced on Tuesday. Big Poppy in his first year on the ballot, earning 77.9% of the vote, clearing the 75% threshold needed for enshrinement. The three-time World Series champ with the Boston Red Sox reacted to the news on MLB Network.
To be part of this very elite group of players, that's what pretty much every player dream of.
Barry Bonds, second in the voting, earning 66% in his 10th and final year of eligibility on the writer's ballot. Roger Clemens in third at 65.2%. Both will be eligible for enshrinement into Cooperstown through the Today's Game Era Committee starting in December. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
WFLA News Time is 6:05. A woman who stopped to help lab monkeys from a crashed truck says she is now ill. That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. We want to put a grand in your hand. Your next chance to win $1,000 is about 1 hour from now. The first hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
News Radio WFLA Orlando is available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting. News Radio WFLA Orlando, an iHeartRadio station.
Well, good morning, Orlando. We're glad you're with us. We'll do our best over the next 3 hours to brighten up what has been the nastiest, rawest 24 hours I think I've seen in a long time in Central Florida. And apparently we're heading for something a lot worse at the end of the weekend with a hard freeze.
You know, yesterday, Bud, I was talking about my reluctance to turn on the heat in my condo.
Yeah.
I had it back on again yesterday because normally, even if it gets cold at night, it warms up in the daytime to 60s or 70s at least.
Yeah, not much yesterday.
It's like been 50 degrees for about 3 days, it seems like. Hasn't changed at all.
Welcome to Seattle.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that way there a lot of the year, I couldn't put up with it. Anyway, we're glad you're with us. Hope you all got out there if you needed to fill up yesterday and listen to us on our gas butt update that prices were going up at the pump. You needed to play beat the truck, as in fuel truck. Every one of those stations I saw coming in this morning are all at 335, you know, and who knows where we're headed. It looks like there's upward pressure in that regard. Hey, Melissa, very quickly, you're a big Boston sports fan. You got to love Big Poppy getting into the Hall of Fame, huh?
I do love Big Poppy getting into the Hall of Fame. I think Mr. Ortiz definitely deserved it. So
really cool guy.
Yeah,
broke my
guy.
Heart. You know, anybody who roots for the Yankees, but he finally got the Red Sox over the finish line against the Bombers. Sorry, Alan. I had to mention that. Well deserved, Josh. What do you think? Quickly.
Yeah, I think it was well deserved. And again, as a Rays fan, being in the same division, we were kind of tired of putting up with him too. But well deserved. He's in the Hall of Fame.
We love our listeners here, and nobody deserves $1,000 more than you do. And listen closely; you'll have many chances to win a grand today, right here.
Exactly 12 chances. The first one comes up in about 1 hour from now, when we announce the very first keyword of the day. Now that is the word you need to submit online, WFLAOrlando.com, for your chance to win $1,000. Again, we do this up to 12 times a day. Each time is your opportunity for us to put a grand in your hand, thanks to our friends at Millennia Labs. 6:08 on Good Morning Orlando, and we'll update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in just 2 minutes.
Headlines right now. A new Republican presidential poll puts Governor Ron DeSantis in the number two spot as a 2024 presidential candidate. Former President Donald Trump came in at number one. This is the Harvard Capps-Harris poll that indicated DeSantis is an early favorite for the nomination if Trump doesn't run again. And we've seen that in other polls as well, but it is early. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeart Radio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
As Alan reported, a big defeat for the Biden administration. We knew it was coming off the Supreme Court ruling that OSHA had overstepped its bounds in mandating vaccines in the private sector for businesses of more than 100 employees. A 6-3 decision, as I recall, with the Trump justices helping get that important ruling across the finish line in the right direction, in my not-so-humble opinion. And they finally have pulled the plug on the vaccine mandate here.
Yeah.
And they were trying to force more and more people to get vaccinated. I'm not anti-vaccine, but I want people to have choices. I don't think you should be losing your job if you don't get the jab. They were way out of line there. And that's a big defeat for the Biden administration.
However, you know, the U.S. Supreme Court did uphold the vaccine mandates for health care workers.
Yeah, they did.
And the state of Florida had been appealing that. But as of last Friday, Attorney General Ashley Moody withdrew that appeal.
Yeah, and that was a 5-4. That was really close. I had some issues with that, but it is what it is. I just wonder if there's a connection between what suddenly, very suddenly, has happened with these two very popular monoclonal antibody treatments for people who get COVID. And it's not all the unvaccinated. As DeSantis pointed out, a lot of these folks are vaccinated, and it just the thing comes back on them, and they get a case of it, and they want to deal with it. This product made by Regeneron and then and Eli Lilly, and they say, well, they don't work. DeSantis is saying, come on, that was one study, that's it, not peer-reviewed. I wonder if there's a connection here where the Biden administration wanted to use this decision to force more and more people to have to get the vaccine because they can't get the monoclonal antibody treatments that they wanted. And this sudden pulling the rug out from under him is something that caught the governor's attention. Let's play a couple of quick cuts from Ron DeSantis. Number one, Governor DeSantis angry about what the Biden administration or the FDA have done.
It's really a reckless decision to be able to take this option away from patients when we've had the site set up, we've had this distributed to different medical groups or hospitals.
And the governor insisting that these treatments, whatever the FDA and Jen Psaki says aside, do have value.
Even if with Omicron it's half as effective or even 25% as effective, that's better than nothing for people. And as I've said, anecdotally, we've had people that have had their symptoms resolved after doing it just in the last month of doing this.
So what's the governor going to do now that the FDA has slammed the door on access to the two most popular monoclonal antibody treatments among patients who get COVID?
We're going to fight back against this because this is just wrong. This is not the way, you know, that you help people. And our view is people have a right to access these treatments, and to revoke it on this basis is just fundamentally wrong, and we're going to fight back.
He hadn't said exactly how he's going to do that, and I'm not sure how he can at this point. There are some other options that are out there, but they're in short supply. I mean, these people are just left high and dry.
But, you know, Governor DeSantis said that, you know, the FDA decision's based on one study. However, you know, as much as he advocates for monoclonal antibody treatments and says, hey, in some cases it has resolved symptoms here in Florida, I haven't seen any, you know, definitive stats on that, on the effectiveness of monoclonal antibody treatments. You know, people who've gotten it say, well, in a few days, my symptoms went away. That might have happened anyway.
Right. Hey, let's do a real quick back of the napkin math. It costs about $3,000 per dose for this monoclonal antibody. So if we were able to treat about 10% of the U.S. population, we're looking at $90 billion, or five times the total assets of Regeneron. That's the company that makes these antibodies. That's a lot of money, bud.
I want to have you flesh out where your point is on that in a moment. And I want to know, you folks, what do you think about what has happened here? Is it what the government should have done? Or is it a raw deal? And if there's some anti-Florida, anti-DeSantis politics at work here, 407-916-5400. On the phone, text line 236. Headlines, a search underway off the coast of Florida for 39 people missing from a capsized boat. A man was rescued clinging to the side. He said he was with a group of migrants who left the Bahamas on Saturday. The Coast Guard believes they were on a human smuggling trip. Updates at least every 10 minutes under top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
News, weather, traffic. This is Good Morning Orlando on News Radio WFLA Orlando.
So did the FDA and the Biden administration make the right call or the wrong call? And suddenly, without warning, with thousands of patients in treatment with these most popular monoclonal antibody therapies for COVID when you get it, Regeneron and an Eli Lilly product. I mean, just gone. And limited other options out there because they don't work. Maybe they have side effects, they're saying.
They're saying they don't work against the Omicron variant.
Right. And, you know, just seems to me that they ought to have choices here. And to pull the plug that quickly, I don't know. I guess I see politics and everything, and I think I'm probably right when I do that in this day and age. They hate DeSantis. They hate Florida, you know, politically. Is this a screw Florida move, screw the governor move, make them look bad and whatever else? Is it also part of the COVID agenda of the Biden administration to force more people to get vaccinated because other options, like getting these treatments they've depended on when they get COVID, are gone?
Yeah, but again, I ask for you know, proof that the monoclonal antibody treatments are better than vaccines at treating the coronavirus. I have not seen that.
All right, before the break, I talked about back of the napkin math. Now, I know we're not all, you know, mathematicians here.
What?
But I can show how the argument of monoclonal antibodies being a viable treatment for everyone kind of collapses on itself. Even if we had the infrastructure to produce this stuff at a large enough scale to make the antibodies readily available, which we do not, Just the cost argument alone makes it so astronomically expensive for the medical system that vaccines come back as a far superior method of mitigating death and severe infections. Okay, again, I said a conservative estimate, 10% rate of symptomatic disease for unvaccinated people. Okay, let's use that. The actual rate's higher, but I'll use that number to make a point. If the population at large goes for the monoclonal antibodies treatment, the moment they're showing symptoms instead of having taken the vaccine, that means 30 million doses of monoclonal antibodies are needed to treat that 10% of the population. Now, if distribution was perfect, all of the doses were readily available with zero overhead, and none of the doses would ever go to waste ever. That's not going to happen. We're still talking $3,000 a dose. Mm. And that means a stockpile enough to take care of 10% of the U.S. population. That's $90 billion. But we could vaccinate the entire world for the various COVID vaccines for about $157 billion.
Of course, this is mostly a Florida thing. DeSantis was all over the monoclonal antibody therapy option for people who particularly didn't want the vaccine, although he says a lot of vaccinated people who wound up getting COVID are now wanting these treatments, and a lot of them, thousands of them, he said, were in the middle of treatments right now. What's going to happen with them? That it's not a national thing with all of this money, and he's willing to subsidize that here for folks who want the choice. And I think that they ought to have it. And I don't like the suddenness of this. And I suspect politics.
Well, I don't know. We don't know at this point if politics is behind it or science is behind the FDA's decision. You can say, well, you want to give people choices. You know, why don't we just throw everything out there, whether the FDA approves it or not?
That's it. I'm taking bleach. I know it works.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
Seriously, the idea of doing this is those treatments only reserved for people who could afford it, okay? When they were giving it away for free, I had friends who said, well, what happens if I get the virus again? And now I have to pay $3,000 for the monoclonal antibodies. Again, it's just not cost effective at all. And most people that have had the vax get the symptoms are not that bad.
Yeah, and I don't understand why the governor is so high on these monoclonal antibody treatments and he's so, you know, lukewarm on vaccines and won't even admit whether he's had a booster or not.
Now, I want to say this, and I'm going to say it once, but I said it to you yesterday off the air, but basically monoclonal antibodies instead of the vaccine is like using abortion as birth control.
I really thought that was a very provocative comment, and as we're going to revisit this later in the show, I want you to resurrect that, put it out there, and I want folks to react to it. Okay, because I thought about it a lot yesterday.
They're all
Melissa.
Saying it to me on the text line about me and Alan and how we feel about our, you know, the abortion law. But this is it right here. This is the same thing. Why do that when you could just get the vaccine?
Thank you, Holly. Coming up on 6:32 right now, the Bud Man here, and alongside me, my co-host Alan Spector, to bring us the news and an update on a non-COVID mandate. An interesting story we're following in the legislature.
Yeah, Bud, we're talking about that bill that would require professional sports teams to play the national anthem before every home game in Florida. It is clearing a legislative hurdle. A Florida House subcommittee approved the bill on a 12-4 vote. Cape Coral Republican Mike Giolombardo says the measure is about patriotism.
The national anthem and our flag has been a symbol of unity and freedom. Everybody pauses just to do one thing. It's the one thing that we all have that we can come together and we agree upon.
Opponents of the measure include Sunrise Democrat Dan Daly.
Freedom also means the freedom not to do something as well. And so if a sports franchise for some reason opts to not play the national anthem, they should be given that opportunity.
The bill requires the playing of the anthem at pro sporting events held at taxpayer-funded venues. This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. The bill named for murder victim Mia Marcano is undergoing major changes in the state legislature. Mia's law originally required background checks for apartment complex employees and restrictions on the handling of master keys. State Senator Linda Stewart of Orlando says those sections have been removed and the bill has been gutted.
Yeah, we're going to follow that. I've got a problem with some of those changes they're making up there.
A woman is facing charges for allegedly sickening five Osceola County students. Deputies say the students had to go to the hospital after an 18-year-old woman gave them edible gummies, which they ingested on the campus of Celebration High School. There's no word on the students' conditions. In South Florida, a priest is asking for forgiveness for what the Archdiocese of Miami calls a lapse. Trey Thomas explains.
The Archdiocese announced yesterday that Monsignor Chanel Gianti, who serves as pastor at St. James Catholic Church, has fathered a child. Catholic priests take a vow of celibacy and are forbidden from having romantic relationships or getting married. Gianti says he has no plans of leaving his North Miami parish. Trey Thomas, News Radio, WFLA, Orlando.
Antonio Brown is considering legal action after being let go by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The wide receiver claims he was forced to play with an ankle injury. Brown told HBO last night the team offered him a settlement to sit out the season and enter mental health treatment. WFLA News Time is 6:34. You don't have to miss anything on Good Morning Orlando. Get caught up with our podcasts on the iHeartRadio app.
Listen closely to this headline. It's already in tomorrow's show. It could be a lot easier for some students to get into college moving forward. They can start taking the SAT test online in 2 years. The admission test is going fully digital, allowing calculators, personal laptops, and promising shorter reading sections. It will also shrink the SAT from 3 hours to 2. Gee, what could go wrong there? Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1. Still on FM 93.1. News Radio WFLA Orlando. And still on AM 540.
Well, listen, I'm just asking. Did a few alarm bells go off in your head when I shared that headline?
I was excited. We can use the calculator now in the math section. This is going to be great. But I felt bad for the person that makes the number two pencils. I really think this is going to be a fall for the industry.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, that kept the number twos alive, the soft pencils.
Oh, yes.
You must use a soft pencil and keep it within the little oval shape when you mark your answer.
Yeah, we're done.
Alan, you're the one who provided me that headline this morning. That's gonna send the SAT into complete irrelevance, and it'll be rampant opportunity for cheating. I don't see any way around that.
Well, you know, and a lot of people think there's already too many people going to college as it is. You know, we're gonna make it even easier now.
Yeah, and we don't want to. We don't a little easier reading section here. We don't. It's not so important that you read. You know. You know, as long as you can play video games, you're all right. Come on in.
Yeah, exactly. Why not?
You remember when Governor DeSantis trotted out his plan to recruit more cops across this state to bring them into law enforcement by saying, if you're somewhere else and you're in police work and you want to come to Florida, you know, we got a law enforcement friendly environment here. We respect law enforcement. Maybe where you're a cop, it's not that way. One of these, you know, big crime ridden cities up north in a blue state or whatever. Come on down here. Join law enforcement here. We'll treat you right and we'll give you a $5,000 signing bonus if you do that. Well, the governor was talking in front of all of those sheriffs earlier this week who endorsed him, and we got into this on the show yesterday. And I caught something that had not been out there before. Apparently the legislature's grabbing a hold of the governor's vision and expanding it here. And now, if you want to change jobs in Florida to go into law enforcement, you can get the signing bonus too. Really, the governor said it, and here it is.
We want $5,000 signing bonuses for anybody who's qualified from out of state to come in, or for people that are new to the profession in state.
In state, change jobs, $5,000 signing bonus. And he went on to say, and we've got scholarships available for you to go through the training in the law enforcement academy as well. They are sweetening the pot, trying to recruit more cops, not only from outside the state, but inside the state of Florida by getting them to say, you know what? I'm kind of tired of this job I'm doing. A lot of people are switching jobs. We know that. And bring him into law enforcement. What do you think? It's going to work?
I don't think it's a needle mover. I don't think $5,000 is enough. I was kidding yesterday when we brought this up and said, well, I'd look good in a uniform. Maybe I should, join a local police force or something. But, you know, you have to be already thinking in those terms about, you know, you don't just all of a sudden decide, I want to be a cop. It's something you really... If you're going to get into it, you really need to have that desire to be in it. And while I respect fully those who are in law enforcement, it's not something I would want to be a part of, and it would take a lot more than $5,000 for me to switch jobs.
So what about you? 407-916-5400, text line 23680. Would you think about a law enforcement career, or your son or your daughter or whatever? Melissa, would this is this going to be a needle mover or not, as Alan suggests?
No, I don't think it is. Matter of fact, I think it only lets the criminals know that we don't have a lot of police and we need more.
The word is out? All right. Geez, you know what? I wasn't going to knock off that bank because, I see all the coppers out there. Maybe there aren't so many. I don't know. I like the idea here. And my question to you is, you know, we all say we revere law enforcement or respect law enforcement. Well, what would it take to get you to become a cop? 407-916-5400, text line 23680. Let us know what you feel about what the governor's putting out there. And what about a career in law enforcement? And those who are in it, we'd love to hear from you about what it's really like to do that critically important work. We continue. Got another angle on how much you make in that kind of line of work as well. Check up headlines now here in the state of Florida. Brevard County taking a controversial step to protect a threatened species. The county commission voting to close entrances to the Malabar Scrub Sanctuary until the town renews a permit that would allow the county to cut down thousands of trees on the property. The county wants the trees removed to protect the scrub jay, a bird whose prey populates the trees. Updates at least every 10 minutes on our top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Glenn Beck, weekdays 9 a.m. till noon on News Radio WFLA Orlando.
So as the governor indicated when he was talking to all of the sheriffs endorsing him up in Jacksonville earlier this week, the state legislature has taken his $5,000 signing bonus incentive for people to come in from out of state who are in law enforcement and be cops here in Florida, you know, saying, well, wait a minute. No, let's expand that to anybody who lives in the state of Florida who wants to change their profession to law enforcement. They will do so and get a $5,000 signing bonus. I like what I see here. And he also mentioned we've got scholarships to the Law Enforcement Academy. Also looked up salary and benefits, salary.com. So if you switch professions here in Florida to become a law enforcement officer, it does vary from place to place. Not only would you get through the legislature and the governor a $5,000 signing bonus for doing it, which is a nice little start, the average police officer's salary in Florida is $56,900. The range typically falls, salary.com says, between $53,200 and $61,900. It can be a little less in some places, more in others, varying widely depending on where you're doing your policing, and also other factors like education, certifications, additional skills, and the number of years that you've put in. And also, and Melissa confirmed this for me, that you can also, in most police agencies, retire after 20 years. And in many police agencies, and maybe all, I don't know, your pension would be 70% of your monthly income. That's a kind of perk that's really hard to get in the rest of corporate America where you may be working right now.
But do you want police recruits whose motivation is money? Their only motivation is money? As I pointed out...
No, not if it's their only. That's different. The only... No, I don't. But the idea that they think I can make a living and feed my family, Alan, sure.
As I pointed out earlier... I feel someone who's going to get into that profession needs to have the drive and needs to have the desire to be in public service. I can't see someone like a low-paid CPA all of a sudden doing an about-face and deciding, I'm getting into law enforcement because that's where the money is. And if someone's in law enforcement for money, who's to say they're not going to be subject to bribery?
What do you think the main reason is that people would pass on this opportunity to even consider law enforcement? Just because the chances out there that you might not come home one night, would that the biggest deterrent to going into policing work? I bet it really is among people. So I don't know. I think I have an opportunity to retire at a ripe old age if I'm, sitting behind a desk somewhere in a cubicle. But if I'm a cop, maybe not.
Well, there's a lot more to being a cop than getting shot at. There's dealing with the public in various situations that are not the most desirable, especially when you get into these domestic situations that police become involved in.
A lot of de-escalation goes on.
It takes a special person to deal with that.
Yeah. How about it, Melissa? I know your radio's your life. It really is, and you have a passion for it that I really admire. But if it weren't that way for you, and you were just okay with your job, it's a paycheck, yada, 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 would you consider a switch to law enforcement?
Actually, I started out in law enforcement in Pittsburgh and as a military police person. So, no, I wouldn't take the bribe. I know what it's like out there on the street. It is a bribe. It really is.
It's an incentive. It's a signing bonus. What? Is that a bribe when a ball player has a signing bonus? I mean, it's an incentive.
You mean somebody who's already playing ball and gets to decide what team he's going to go on? Or you mean somebody who's not playing ball at all who decides to get a signing bonus all of a sudden changes career? I mean, what are you talking about?
Now, if there was a big bonus for people to all of a sudden play Major League Baseball,
I'm in.
I'd be up for that.
I would be a kicker in football if that would happen. But
you have to be able to hit, Alan.
Your example didn't work.
Care.
Your example didn't work because if a baseball player is a player already, they're not going to, maybe all of a sudden hop over and get a bonus to become a cop unless that's something that's been in their system for a long time.
Dexter's. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if I played one baseball game, I'd make more money than what I make here for 10 years.
Do you know a boxer just got paid $50 million to not fight?
Is that right?
I swear, I would not lie. I'd take that day.
I would have not fight anybody for $40 million.
For 15 grand, I think I'd not fight.
They once paid Julie Andrews a fortune not to make a movie after one she made bombed. I remember that. Raise cops pay to 100K starting. That's where it should be, says a texter.
Nope.
I've advocated six-figure salaries for teachers here, knowing it'll never happen. For the very best teachers, because the job is so important. Another one says you got to be crazy to be a cop or a teacher nowadays. Interesting. I want to see how this works out with the $5,000 signing bonus.
Where's that coming from? The
money. Where's that coming from? They are going to, they have to, $100 billion. They got to pass a budget. They're going to move some money around, and that's what they do in Tallahassee. High priority for some things, lower priority for others. They got $100 billion to mess with, and the plan now, the bill is to make that money available for people in Florida switching professions to law enforcement, a $5,000 signing bonus. News coming up with Alan now.
The governor versus the White House again, and a longtime NFL head coach steps down. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes. It's 6:58 on Good Morning Orlando.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart radio station.
Good morning, Orlando. Top of the morning to you here at 7 o'clock, and we are glad you're with us on this Wednesday morning for our latest look now at Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540, and on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, the governor vows to fight an FDA decision. More in 1 minute.
And Mayor Deming's sales tax hike rears its ugly head again. You want it or not? Let's talk on Good Morning Orlando.
7:02 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Governor Ron DeSantis is blasting the FDA's decision to remove authorization for the use of COVID-19 monoclonal antibody drugs. He says they're pulling the rug out from under elderly patients,
most of whom, almost all of them, have been vaccinated, and say you don't have access to this treatment. So we're going to fight back against this because this is just wrong. This is not the way, that you help people.
The FDA's decision forced all state-run monoclonal treatment sites to close. At the White House, Press Secretary Jen Psaki was puzzled by the governor's stance.
Let's just take a step back here just to realize how crazy this is a little bit.
Psaki says the monoclonal antibody treatments do not work against Omicron, and they have side effects.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this again in the 8 o'clock hour. Folks, join the conversation.
This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. Some 80 million workers are no longer required to get a COVID vaccine or test. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration is officially ending the mandate as of today. It was supposed to begin 3 weeks ago, but was struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court. Mitch McConnell, the top Republican in the Senate, is praising President Biden's response to the Russia-Ukraine crisis. More from Trey Thomas.
The Senate Minority Leader said yesterday, once the Russians have grabbed a piece of Ukraine or try to overthrow the government, it's really too late. McConnell says he approves of deploying Stinger missiles and ground troops in Eastern Europe and has told the White House how he feels about the situation. Trey Thomas, News Radio, WFLA, Orlando.
A Texas man charged in last year's Capitol attack is expected to find out today if he's getting out of jail. A judge is deciding whether to release Stuart Rhodes or keep him behind bars until trial. Rhodes is the leader of the right-wing militia group Oath Keepers and has pleaded not guilty. A SpaceX rocket is on track to crash into the moon in just weeks. Astronomers think it'll hit in early March after floating as space junk for almost 7 years. The rocket blasted off from the Cape in 2015 to send a weather satellite on a journey, but did not have enough fuel to fly back.
That's really interesting. Normally this stuff falls to Earth and we have to deal with it, and this one's going to go hit the moon.
The man in the moon, watch out. And a longtime NFL head coach is stepping back from football.
Addressing the media Tuesday, Sean Payton explained that he decided to go out on his own terms, stepping down as head coach of the New Orleans Saints after 15 seasons, effectively sitting out coaching for 2022.
As difficult as being fired is, it sure seems easier to thank everyone and move on your merry way.
Payton choked back tears at times as he thanked the organization and team owner Gail Benson, as well as her late husband, Tom.
You've been fantastic carrying on everything about his legacy.
Payton exits with a 152-89 record, guiding the Saints to 7 division titles, 9 playoff appearances, and a Super Bowl victory in 2010. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
And, you know, you have to give credit to Sean Payton and Drew Brees. They played no small part in the revival of the city of New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina.
Sure, because they wound up, you know, winning the Super Bowl, I think, right after all
yes.
of that. You know, it was like 2005. I think they won in 2006. So universally respected as one of the great coaches.
They won in 2010. But they turned the team around. And when the team came back, remember how the Superdome had been torn apart with people, you know, using that as a haven during Hurricane Katrina? They got that thing back in record time. When that team came back and played, it just got the whole city
that
back.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first game back there was the Steve Gleason punt block return.
Yeah.
That was the big, one of the highlights. They have a statue out front of the stadium.
Yeah. WFLA news time is 7:06. A beam of light, like something from a sci-fi movie, leaves witnesses stunned. Watch the video online at WFLAOrlando.com. We want to put a grand in your hand. Your next chance to win $1,000 just minutes away. The second hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
News Radio WFLA Orlando is available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting. News Radio WFLA Orlando, an iHeartRadio station.
Patriots, we greet you here on this dark, dank, raw Wednesday morning. Going to warm you up with some hot talk on local and national issues here. And our phone line's always available to you at 407-916-5400. Text line 23680. First name in town at your option. Speaking of the website, WFLAOrlando.com.
Yeah, we got all kinds of cool prizes for you, including a passion dealio. And Josh, what else can they do?
Thank you, Melissa. So, you and a guest can enjoy a night out at Medieval Times Dinner and Tournament. Enjoy a hands-on feast as the dynamic performance unfolds before you. Enter now at WFLAOrlando.com.
Thank you, Josh.
Medieval Times. Great old attraction down there. Jousting, horseback, four-course meal, good time.
I got to say, I always know who's going to get killed, though.
You know that?
Yeah.
They telegraphed that?
Yeah.
Sounds like a Medieval Times regular, the Fox.
Always the bad guy. No spoiler alert.
Did they take wagers down there?
No. I wish they had in-house betting.
Hey, got a grand in your hand? No, you don't, but you could have it shortly, and Alan's here to tell you how to get it.
Yeah, the very first keyword of the day is moments away. That's the word you need to submit online to WFLAOrlando.com for your opportunity to win $1,000. We do this 12 times a day. Each time is your opportunity to win $1,000, thanks to our friends at Millennia Labs. We'll update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in just 2 minutes. 7:08 on Good Morning Orlando.
Headlines for you right now. Talked about this a bit earlier. A new Republican presidential poll puts Governor Ron DeSantis in the number two spot as a 2024 candidate. We've seen this in some other polling, and here it comes again. Former President Donald Trump, no surprise, coming in at number one. This is the Harvard Caps Harris poll, indicating DeSantis is an early favorite for the GOP nomination if Trump doesn't run again. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories for you on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeart Radio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando. Yeah!
Question on the table right now, how do you feel about a 1 cent per dollar increase in the Orange County sales tax that would take it from the current 6.5% to 7.5%. The Orange County Commission and Mayor Jerry Demings, and this was kind of his pet project, he had it on the table and withdrew it at the beginning of the pandemic when times got really tough for everybody. He had a work session with the commission yesterday. And they didn't take a vote, but they're beginning to look at trying to get this on the ballot in November for you to vote for it here in Orange County to raise, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, they say, per year, and to sink it into transportation. More money for the Lynx bus system, more money for Sunrail hemorrhaging red ink, and of course, as the state gives up the operating control of it, all of the entities along the Sunrail line, where it seems like, you know, fewer and fewer people are riding it all the time, are going to have to pick up the tab. And that would include, of course, Orange County. So he wants money for that. And he says other road projects. I got to tell you, I think it was a bad idea just before the pandemic. I think it's a bad idea now. And Demings, it's very, very interesting here, was quoted as saying to the county commissioners yesterday, it's ultimately up to you. County commissioners have to vote to put this on the November ballot. Then the voters will decide on whether to approve it. I think Jerry Demings, my prediction is this never goes on the ballot. Couple of reasons. First of all, it's just a brutal thing to do to people who are struggling in huge numbers through this pandemic. I mean, it's just brutal to do that at this time. And they'll remember it. They'll remember it when they go to vote. And Demings is up for re-election. He's virtually unopposed, as far as I know. I mean, doesn't have significant opposition that I'm aware of at this point. But still, I think it's got to make him nervous on that basis. And there are a couple of commissioners who are also up for re-election, would regard a sales tax hike as maybe a candidacy killer. And I really think they're going to decide it should not happen because I believe it should not happen. Where do you stand on this game?
Well, I think if it does go on the ballot, which I agree with you is probably unlikely at this point, if it does go on the ballot, it's not going to pass. People aren't going to vote to contribute more money to Orange County.
Well, particularly for a bus system ridden by a small minority of people on the Sunrail that's always hemorrhaging red ink and never has had nearly the ridership that was promised. Really, I'm sorry. And roads, do we need more pavement in Orange County, for God's sakes? I don't think so.
So the other day I was riding on a bike path and I had to pay a toll. It was terrible.
Oh, really? Come on.
Variable tolls. Yeah. Saturday morning when all the kids are out there, it's more money. And Wednesday afternoon at 4, you're okay. Less money.
Less.
A toll on the trail.
Did you have your sun pass?
No, I didn't. I had my easy pass, but it was on my other bike. So,
I hate when that happens. Mm-hmm.
They chased me down for a minute.
Yeah. What about it? What do you think, Melissa?
Nah, this is ridiculous. They've been trying to pass this thing for the last couple of years, haven't they?
And it's still
not passed. So I'm thinking the toll road example kind of a thing was a hyperbole to express the situation. Bike paths, not a priority. But it's a mess. Just let it go. Stop asking for more money. And again, do the forensics and audit and find out where that money is bleeding or not being used and reappropriate.
Well, hey, listen, here's an opportunity for you to pick up enough money and maybe $1,000. How does that sound? Go to the website because we have our great contest going on right now, WFLAOrlando.com. Enter this hour's keyword. It's family, and you could win $1,000. We're putting a grand in your hand, and 12 times a day you've got a chance to win a grand.
Yeah, Jerry Dennings should try this.
Yes, I would recommend that. Mm-hmm. What would you say to the mayor if you're standing in front of you right now pitching the sales tax hike? 407-916-5400, text line 23680. A look at headlines for you right now. Brevard County, I already gave you that one. I'm going to give you another one here, which we haven't heard in a while. A search underway off the coast of Florida for 39 people missing from a capsized boat. A man rescued clinging to the side. He said he was with a group of migrants who left the Bahamas on Saturday. The Coast Guard believes they were on a human smuggling trip. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes in the top stories right here in Good Morning Orlando.
News, weather, and traffic for the best audience in talk radio. This is Good Morning Orlando on News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Tell them, baby, I'm on fire. I tell them, baby.
So we're talking about Orange County Mayor Jerry Dennings, who doesn't sound quite as fired up. Well, he never sounds fired up. But, you know, Jerry Dennings is, you know, for this penny sales tax hike that he was really all excited about before the pandemic when he pulled it, because he knew it was going nowhere then, and I think it's going nowhere now. I don't even think it's going to make it to the ballot, but it's kind of like he was just kind of trying to make sure that if it gets on the ballot and it gets shot down by the voters in November, and Alan, I think you're right in saying if it gets on the ballot, it's never going to pass. Penny sales tax hike for, you know, links, Sunrail, and more roads. Come on, who wants that? And it particularly in this difficult time when people are struggling to make ends meet in so many numbers. But at any rate, he's kind of just kind of soft pedals it. This is the quote again. It's ultimately up to you, you know. County commissioners have to vote to put this on the November ballot. And then the voters will decide on whether to approve it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said. So it's like, well, I got to wash my hands on this thing a little bit. By the way, to put it in perspective, though, he sees room for the sales tax to grow. The limit in the state for a county sales tax is 8.5%, which is what they have in Hillsborough County over Tampa way here. 6.5 in Orange County, and that's lower than in the immediate area, Osceola, Seminole, and Lake. So he says, ooh, well, you know, let's jack it up. I'm telling you, the commission's not going to do it. They see it as a political loser, and I think he does too. I say it never makes the ballot, and if it does, it goes down in flames, just like the Mobility 2020 plan that then Orange County leader Rich Crotty was pitching, a half-cent sales tax for transportation in 2003. Is my first year on talk radio. We led a campaign against that thing, and it went down with our Mobility 540 plan as an alternative by 8 points on Election Day.
You know, I think Melissa was on point with her comment about tolls, because I live near the north end of the express lanes on I-4 that are soon to open. Oh. And, you know, I'm waiting to see what the numbers are when they go up on the sign as to how much that is going to cost.
Nickels and dimes.
It's just another reminder for folks that they're already spending a lot of money on roads and transportation in Orange County and elsewhere in Central Florida.
Elsewhere.
They don't want to shell out another penny on the sales tax.
Here's the thing, too. Once you get used to driving or have entitlement, if you will, people don't go back to living without it. So it's the same for driving to work. We're not just all of a sudden going to walk or ride an e-bike and arrive soaked in sweat and dirt and expect to be professional. It's just not going to work. And public transit here in America is kind of a joke in a lot of places because we have low population density and people like having their own space, driving to work.
Here's the thing. You might be able to sell more people on raising the sales tax for transportation if they could see we have this overwhelming unmet demand for the Lynx bus system. Overwhelming demand. People are hanging out of the Sunrail cars. I mean, you watch a Sunrail train go by at the station. It's hard to tell if there's anybody on it. And people are saying, there's no demand for this. And the demand is among a minuscule percentage of the population, unlike in some of these big cities where you have to have mass transit to get around. Yeah. You don't have to have it here. You might think it's a nice thing, but I'll be doggone if I'm going to shell out, an extra penny on every doggone dollar I spend to fund this thing when I don't see the demand.
The reality, even, Bud, if you want to put in a mass transit system here in Central Florida, you're going to end up bulldozing thousands of people's homes. The Sunrail, no one rides. It's not convenient. Doesn't run when people actually need to use it. It's a waste of taxpayer dollars. No one really works downtown now, especially after COVID. Where do people need to commute to?
Yeah, it's a great point you made, Bud, that, in big cities, mass transit is a necessity. It is not here. In big cities, it's difficult, first of all, to find any place to park if you go downtown. Here in Orlando, pretty much any place you go, there's a place to park. You don't have to worry about that. Our only worry is that traffic gets heavy from time to time.
Sampling the text line in closing, John from Orlando says Demings ought to be ashamed for discussing a tax increase during these tough times. Did he look at gas prices lately? Oh, boy. Ready to have computer chips implanted in your brain? Elon Musk wants to talk to you. We'll have that story with Rory O'Neill in 10 minutes. But right now I'm going to turn it over to my co-host, Alan Spector. News update beginning with some important work within the state legislature ongoing.
Bud, state senators are taking a first step toward ramping up scrutiny of the way public schools, library books, and instructional materials are chosen. The proposal, sponsored by Republican Joe Gruters, would change the review process, making it more stringent and open to the public.
The purpose of the bill is to create transparency in the process. It's not to censor anything. It's about giving people the opportunity to understand exactly what's being offered to their students in terms of instructional materials.
Democratic Senator Lori Berman does not like the direction GOP lawmakers are headed in.
Bankrate's Greg McBride says the economy is doing better, but
this is the slippery slope of censorship. We are starting down the path of censorship. And it's an authoritarian action.
Unlike a similar plan in the House, senators declined to consider eliminating salaries for school board members. This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. Elsewhere in Tallahassee, a Florida House panel is approving a proposal that would allow local governments to restrict smoking on beaches and in public parks. Under current law, the state controls regulation of smoking throughout Florida. The bill would allow cities and counties to regulate it at beaches and parks that they own. A group behind anti-Semitic flyers in South Florida may be targeting other cities. The flyers seen last weekend in Miami Beach and Surfside were also found in North Miami and Fort Lauderdale. The flyers appear to blame Jews for COVID. The Federal Reserve is expected to announce today it's raising interest rates as soon as March as it concludes its two-day meeting. Trey Thomas has details.
Bankrate's Greg McBride says the economy is doing better, but inflation is near 7%, so the Fed must take action.
They need to start raising interest rates in order to dull demand just a little bit and corral these price increases. Of course, the supply chain, a big factor in the price increases that we've seen.
He says prepare now. Everything from the cost of getting a mortgage to your line of credit will spike, so grab the low-rate 0% balance of transfers while you can. Trey Thomas, News Radio WFLA Orlando.
And the Orlando Magic play at home tonight. They're hosting the Los Angeles Clippers at the Amway Center. WFLA News time is 7:35. Elsewhere. This morning, we're remembering the person who first brought Charlie Brown to life in the Peanuts cartoons. Robbins was just 9 years old when he first voiced the character in the 1965 TV special, A Charlie Brown Christmas.
I just don't understand Christmas, I guess. I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy. I always end up feeling depressed.
He adored Charlie Brown so much, he even had the character tattooed on his arm. Sadly, Peter Robbins took his own life last week.
Oh, my.
His family says he had battled drugs and alcohol over the years and suffered with mental illness. He also spent time in prison. Peter Robbins, the voice of Charlie Brown, the original voice of Charlie Brown, was 65.
Such a distinctive voice, and it was so well married to the illustrations. I can't imagine Charlie Brown sounding anything other than the way he sounded.
I really thought the voices were perfectly cast, especially in that first special, A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Did anyone else hear Colin the Home Alone kid voice? It sounded real similar. They must have, I bet they did that kind of comparison. So
I never
like
thought
this
about
kid.
That. Never
yeah, when you played it, all I could hear was Colin McCulkin.
This episode of Elsewhere is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away. Are you ready for some halftime? A new trailer previewing the upcoming Super Bowl halftime show debuted over the weekend. The video features Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, and Kendrick Lamar living their best lives before being summoned to California. They'll be performing at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles on February 13th. The game will be broadcast on NBC.
You like the look of the halftime lineup?
I think I'm going to enjoy it very much. I think you will not.
Why?
Why? Just based on past experience with you and music.
Really?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
All right.
I'm prepared. This is February 13th is the Super Bowl. I'm prepared to start Valentine's Day with a rant from Bud about the halftime show.
Here's the thing. Bud actually took the day off, and so did Josh, because it's post-Super Bowl, I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They won't be here?
They won't be here on Valentine's Day that I'm aware of.
All right, we'll get Simon's review of the halftime
show. Hey, if I'm red hot about this, I'll still be revved up on Tuesday.
Oh, boy.
Okay, I'm not going to like it. All right, I'll watch it just to let you know what I think.
Well, keep an open mind, despite what I said.
Okay.
And finally,
how can you stop the rain from falling down?
Well, it's not easy to mend a broken heart after ending a relationship, but getting paid might help. There's actually a job offering $1,000 to become the DJ of heartache.
Listening?
You have to listen to breakup songs for 24 hours, like this one from Adele.
Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead.
The perfect candidate must listen to all of the breakup songs by February 6th, and after they're done crying, create 5 playlists of their own to represent the 5 stages of grief.
Oh, jeez.
Those interested must apply on financebuzz.com by January 31st.
What's the best breakup song out there? What do you think? Breaking up is hard to do.
That's not a breakup song.
Neil Sedaka.
Is that a breakup song?
It is. Well, yeah. I mean, it's got it right there in the title. How about Break Up to Make Up by the Stylistics.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How about a Godsmack tune?
Really?
Yeah. Leave it alone! Sorry.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Don't hurt yourself in there.
I didn't. I know how to do that. I'm a pro. Hey, how much does it pay?
$1,000.
Boring. They have to up the price for me to listen
it's
to
only,
that many.
It's only 24 hours.
Oh, I do that every
$1,000 bucks for 24 hours.
I worked in
country
music. We can
get you $1,000 here in 3 seconds in our contest. WFLLander.com. Put in the key word.
Slow down.
Family.
What was the website?
WFLAOrlando.com.
Slow down.
WFLAOrlando.com.
Yeah, that's the same place where you can find more stories from elsewhere on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com. And listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere. With Alan Spector.
Coming up in 1 hour. As we roll on, we're going to bring in News Radio WFLA national correspondent Rory O'Neill. Elon Musk about far more than SpaceX and his gazillions of dollars. Are you familiar with his Neuralink project? This is unbelievable what he says he's going to be able to do from some folks who could really use some high-tech help. He's looking for volunteers. All you have to do is be open to having brain chips installed in your skull. Are you in? Well, don't say no until you hear the story with Rory after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in a quick 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando. Headlining a story we'll be talking about with you in the 8 o'clock hour, a recent decision by the FDA as COVID patients and health officials scrambling. The FDA announcing on Monday is discontinuing two monoclonal antibody treatments because the treatments are ineffective, they say, against Omicron. Seminole County Emergency Manager Alan Harris says he's working with the state to get a supply of another treatment option. DeSantis is really mad about what the feds are doing. We'll talk about it with you here in about a half an hour. Updates now on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic coming your way every 10 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, News Radio WFLA Orlando, and still on AM 540.
Intriguing story here, focused on multi-gazillionaire Elon Musk, the world's richest man, on the hunt now for volunteers to take part in his Neuralink project. Let's find out all about it from News Radio WFLA national correspondent Rory O'Neill joining us here for a couple of minutes. Rory, what do folks need to know about this?
Hey, good morning, Bud. This Neuralink device would be implanted in your skull and let you essentially control a computer, a smartphone, a tablet, just with your thoughts. They've already implanted these in a pig and in a monkey. There's a YouTube video that shows a monkey playing Pong just by looking at the screen, and he's sitting there eating a banana smoothie. So it sounds pretty good, right? But some medical ethicists say there could be issues here.
Life is good in the monkey cage. What do you mean there are some issues here, Rory?
Well, how else could these devices be used in the future? What else could they be used for? You know, if Musk wants to use these to help out people with mobility issues, those who are paralyzed with Parkinson's, that's great. Not a lot of money in that, though, as a business model. So what is he up to, especially when Google is also a big investor in this?
Yeah, do we know... exactly how this chip would be implanted in your head, and would it be would the process be painful, and would you have like a big thing sticking out of your forehead like an antenna? I don't know.
Well, lucky you, Alan. There's plenty of room. So this chip.
That's your forehead he's talking about, not even
right?
Mine.
It's the size of a large coin and would be flush to your skull after being implanted. The one thing Musk would like to eventually see if it's possible to use these to help people break addiction to drugs and alcohol.
Oh, that's
another possible use for these chips, still into development.
So I know they do something like this for those folks that have the tics and such. What are they called? Tourette syndrome. Is it going to be something similar to that? And also the testing that they're going to do, would you assume that it's going to be on like the hopeless, not somebody who's healthy at first, at least for the first 10 years?
Well, they're going to want to be able to monitor whoever receives the first of these. So I'm not sure it would be the hopeless, but and probably someone who's already had some experience working with an interface. These really just read the signals in the brain that are being sent, and then they're interpreted by the computers.
So how do you get in the running to volunteer for Musk's Neuralink chip implants?
He just put out the call to hire a clinical research director, so it'll be the early days yet. But they already have implanted in a pig and a monkey, so the human trials are next, and they're putting that program together now, perhaps with an implant this year, maybe next.
What are you laughing about, Al?
I'm already making a banana smoothie in my mind.
And you can play Pong at the same time.
I know.
With your mind.
It'll replace board ops, that's for sure.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Josh.
For folks who wonder about board ops, that's folks who are in the control room like Josh, and Melissa's, of course, done great work with that, of course.
Pushing the buttons.
And everything else in the business here.
Yeah,
making everything work, and there's a lot of buttons in there. So anyway, News Radio WFLA national correspondent Rory O'Neill. Thanks on Neuralink and these computer chip implants that Elon Musk is working on. Appreciate it. Catch you next time.
Thanks, bud.
That was a shot about all the room you got inside your head unused, wasn't it?
Yeah, how about
I thought
that?
I
think
were
it was the size of his forehead that they were talking.
You know,
about.
There was a time when
it was a shot.
When Rory worked side by side with me in the newsroom here every morning.
It's never going to happen.
Thank goodness that time has passed.
He's a Hulk. He's 6'6" and he knows it.
You know? He is a towering figure. We appreciate him when he comes on. And, hey, listen, you want to win a grand? You got your opportunity to cash in the next hour of the show on our contest on the website. But there's an opportunity right now because we have a ongoing keyword. So go to WFLAOrlando.com, enter the keyword family, and you could win $1,000. New keyword coming just after the 8 o'clock news. Headline, speaking of Elon Musk, not Neuralink, but this headline on SpaceX. There are two SpaceX Falcon 9 launches from Cape Canaveral planned for this week. Now, the first one is tomorrow evening, 6:11 p.m., for an Italian satellite designed to provide critical data and emergency risk prevention. And on Saturday, a launch from the Cape set for 3 o'clock in the afternoon will send more of those Starlink Internet satellites into orbit. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Glenn Beck, weekdays 9 a.m. till noon on News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Elon Musk's Neuralink project is fascinating. It's also frightening when you consider what could be done in this regard if people wind up with computer chips being implanted in their brains and they get programmed for various things and all kinds of nefarious motives could be ascribed to this. And God, I hope we don't go down that road. But I have to say this. Under certain conditions, with certain assurances, I would absolutely volunteer for that. When we are talking about implanting brain chips to help people with debilitating conditions like spinal cord injury to be able to walk again, and I have known folks who live with this, with paralysis. I lost my dearest friend and my brother-in-law to a 10-year downhill slide with Parkinson's disease. And if I could have been part of research that would have enabled perhaps him to have an implant of this kind that would stop the tremors that made his life impossible to live, as upbeat as he always was, I would do it. I would do it. But as the texters are pointing out, there's a sinister side to this, somebody saying, computer chips in the brain, big tech programming those chips are always experimenting on us. And I understand the other side of it. You know, it's like nuclear power and nuclear bombs. I mean, there's always the extreme flip side, it seems like, on technological breakthroughs. But just a thought.
Yeah, looking at the possible positive outcomes, Bud, when you think about the brain and implanting something in there, you start to wonder, could this be something that could be used for Alzheimer's patients? I mean, talk about a tragic situation. If there was some way to reverse that,
I don't know whether the potential is there. Maybe, there's probably things on the upside here that Even Elon Musk and the folks working for him with Neuralink here at this point don't have any idea, you know, what the ultimate positive use of this kind of technology would be.
You know, back in the day, they were like, pacemakers, putting that in a pig. What's wrong with you people? This is crazy. And now it's like outpatient kind of stuff. It's just a point of, you know, getting over the fear of change. Oh, my God, they'll never replace horse and buggies. Again, things happen, change. We must embrace it or, you know, we're doomed to just sit there and never, ever get the cures that we need.
You know, and there'll be people who say, well, you know, God didn't intend for chips to be implanted in your brain, but don't you believe that God gave these scientists the knowledge to come up with this idea?
Oh, I absolutely do, Alan.
Blasphemy! Oh, I'm sorry.
I absolutely do. Next hour, we're going to talk about the government shutting down these monoclonal antibody therapies for COVID here, and the governor is red hot about it, and I'm kind of red hot about it as well. And the Budman's Shark Watch brainstorm on how to make folks feel a lot safer going in the water in the shark capital of the world, a.k.a. Volusia County beaches, coming up. News now, though.
Yeah, the governor vows to fight that FDA decision. And baseball's Hall of Fame getting a new member. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes. Now 7:58 on Good Morning Orlando.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart radio station.
Good morning, Orlando. Great to have you with us on the 50,000-watt front porch here Wednesday at 8 o'clock as we update once again now Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic for you on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540, and on the iHeart Radio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, the governor versus the White House again. More in 1 minute.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that concerning monoclonal antibody therapy. And the Budman Shark Watch Brainstorm. Let me know what you think. That's coming up, too. So let's talk on Good Morning Orlando.
8:02 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Governor Ron DeSantis is calling the FDA's sudden decision to remove its authorization for two monoclonal antibody treatments haphazard and reckless. The agency claims the treatments are ineffective against Omicron.
But even if with Omicron it's half as effective or even 25% as effective, that's better than nothing for people. And as I've said, anecdotally, we've had people that have had their symptoms resolved.
The governor says Florida will fight the decision because he says people should have the right to access those treatments. At the White House, Press Secretary Jen Psaki called DeSantis' position on monoclonal antibody treatments crazy.
These treatments, the ones that they are fighting over, that the governor is fighting over, do not work against Omicron, and they have side effects.
The FDA decision resulted in the closure of all state-run monoclonal antibody sites.
Left a lot of people who are counting on these treatments in a tight spot. We're going to debate who's got it right, Governor DeSantis or Biden and the FDA.
This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. A COVID mandate for some 80 million workers is officially over today. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration ended it after the U.S. Supreme Court blocked the rule, but the agency says it will keep working to have big businesses require vaccinations or tests.
Yeah, big defeat for the Biden administration. I know they're not happy about it. That may have something to do, I believe, with them pulling the plug on these monoclonal therapies.
President Biden says he has no intention to deploy U.S. military forces to Ukraine. But talking with reporters on a shopping trip, Biden again warned of enormous consequences if Russia chooses to invade Ukraine.
This would be the largest, if he were to move in with all those forces, would be the largest invasion since World War II. It would change the world.
Russia has massed more than 100,000 troops on its border with Ukraine. Roughly 8,500 U.S. troops are on standby for possible deployment to Eastern Europe and the Baltic region. There are two SpaceX Falcon 9 launches scheduled from Cape Canaveral this week. First one happens tomorrow, 6:11 p.m., for an Italian satellite designed to provide critical data and emergency risk prevention. On Saturday, a launch set for 3 p.m. will send more Starlink Internet satellites into orbit. And just one person is getting the call to the hall from baseball writers this year.
David Ortiz, the lone selection by eligible baseball writers this year for induction into the Baseball Hall of Fame, is announced on Tuesday. Big Poppy in his first year on the ballot, earning 77.9% of the vote, clearing the 75% threshold needed for enshrinement. The three-time World Series champ with the Boston Red Sox reacted to the news on MLB Network.
To be part of this very elite group of players, that's what pretty much every player dream of.
Barry Bonds, second in the voting, earning 66% in his 10th and final year of eligibility on the writer's ballot. Roger Clemens in third at 65.2%. Both will be eligible for enshrinement into Cooperstown through the Today's Game Era Committee starting in December. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
WFLA News Time is 8:05. Teen brothers kill their stepfather after he allegedly sexually assaulted their sister. That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. We want to give you $1,000. Keep listening for the next key word and your chance to win. The third hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
News Radio WFLA Orlando is available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting. News Radio WFLA Orlando, an iHeartRadio station.
So, are you okay with Big Poppy getting into the Hall of Fame and Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens not making it? What do you think about this game?
Well, I'm good with Bonds and Clemens not making
cheaters.
It. Big Poppy, I mean, there's been suspicion about him and steroids over the years. The steroid issue is very difficult, though, because, you know, who was using it and who wasn't? You know, was it an uneven playing field or was it not? Was it so widespread that everybody had to be taking steroids at the time?
Josh, our resident sports fanatic, what about it?
I saw this stat this morning that made my jaw drop to the floor, and do with it as you may. So David Ortiz, his career on-base percentage is 380. Barry Bonds, his career on-base percentage, if you turn all 762 of his home runs into outs, his on-base percentage would be 384.
Well, he walked all the time. He was always on because they didn't want to pitch to him.
Yeah, and if you turn every single one of his home runs, which he's like the record holder for most home runs, 384, that's just jaw-dropping to me.
Well, you know, the thing is, Barry Bonds, before he started with the steroids, allegedly, he was a Hall of Famer anyway. What happened was, apparently, in 1998, you remember Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa got all the attention for hitting all those home runs.
Jeez.
And Barry Bonds in the offseason said, I'm going to do the same thing they did, and I'm going to start hitting home runs all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, cheaters. I don't want them in. The Big Poppy thing, I really love the guy. Everybody loves the guy. They don't love Barry Bonds particularly. And most don't love Clemens. But, I mean, you know, and that can't be the reason. But there is the suspicion about
Poppy's a media hound. They love him. So they excuses. But I think they should all be there with an asterisk.
Well, you're going to feel maybe a little bit better even than you do about us if you're the winner of $1,000. Now, how do they get in the running for the grand?
All you do is keep listening, Bud, for the key word, which we'll announce in moments. And that's the word you need to submit online at WFLAOrlando.com. And we could be putting a grand in your hand. Thanks to our friends at Millennia Labs, we do this 12 times a day. 8:08 on Good Morning Orlando, and we'll update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in just 2 minutes.
Headlines on the pandemic. Worldwide now, more than 358.7 million cases of coronavirus. More than 5.6 million have died. In the United States, we're up to more than 72.1 million cases. Death toll, 872,000. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes in our top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeart Radio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
I don't know whether this is a stretch in your mind. You can tell me at 407-916-5400 on the phone or the text line 23680. First name in town if you'd like. Could there be a connection between the Biden administration being angry and bitter and having to pull their big business vaccine mandate, where they were going to force more people to get vaccinated if they wanted to keep their jobs, in the wake of the Supreme Court ruling 6-3 against this a couple of weeks ago. They just pulled the plug on that. And do you think there's any connection between that and the idea that they have shut down Biden's FDA, these monoclonal antibody treatments for folks who have COVID made by Regeneron and Eli Lilly, suddenly and without notice and with thousands of people in the middle of treatments here, just to limit their options and force them to get the shots? That's a question I want your answer to, and we'll debate it, but I want you to hear from Governor DeSantis, who has been a big proponent of Regeneron and the Eli Lilly and monoclonal antibody treatments for COVID. He's really angry about what's just happened here that Alan's been reporting on all morning, what the Biden administration and the FDA have done.
It's really a reckless decision to be able to take this option away from patients when we've had the site set up, we've had this distributed to different medical groups or hospitals.
And the governor says further that these treatments, in fact, have value.
Even if with Omicron it's half as effective or even 25% as effective, that's better than nothing for people. And as I've said, anecdotally, we've had people that have had their symptoms resolved after doing it just in the last month of doing this.
I mean, the governor is really, really angry. And I think he has a point here. I mean, it's so sudden, came out of nowhere, really. So what's the governor going to do now that the FDA has slammed the door on access to the two most popular monoclonal antibody treatments among patients who get COVID?
We're going to fight back against this because this is just wrong. This is not the way, you know, that you help people. And our view is people have a right to access these treatments, and to revoke it on this basis is just fundamentally wrong, and we're going to fight back.
But he hasn't said how he's going to fight back, and I'm not exactly sure what ammunition he has at this point. Now, there are some other products out there in the monoclonal antibody family, and there's some availability, but not nearly enough to meet the demand. And he says, you know, you got up a couple of thousand lives hanging in the balance right now when you pull the plug with no notice.
What I've wondered about for some time, and I'm wondering about again this morning, is why Governor Ron DeSantis is so red hot on monoclonal antibody treatments and so lukewarm when it comes to vaccines, to the point where he was reluctant to even say if he'd gotten a booster. You know, what is the deal here? And he, you know, we heard in that cut from the governor that he said anecdotally people's symptoms have been resolved after taking these monoclonal antibody treatments. Right. But I haven't seen any definitive statistics on this. We've seen that the vaccines are effective, but we haven't seen anything definitive, as I said, that shows these treatments work.
Melissa?
Yeah, maybe it has to do with the fact that one of DeSantis's top donors bought into this whole Regeneron pharmaceutical deal. I was talking about Citadel, a Chicago-based hedge fund. They put about $15.9 million in the shares of Regeneron, and now this guy's, they're big donors for DeSantis, so maybe he's just trying to keep his donors happy, and that's why he's so mad that these monoclonal, what, you know?
No, I'm familiar with what you're saying, and it's the DeSantis haters out there, and the Democrats are looking for some traction against this guy. I choose to believe, absent any information to the contrary, that DeSantis is just not that kind of politician. But you're right. It is out there. We need to talk more about this. And whether you think I'm on to something in my little bit of a conspiracy theory about the link between, the end of the vaccine mandate for big businesses and all of a sudden taking away this therapy, driving people to vaccines.
I just think it's interesting. You're so ready to believe the worst about the Biden administration and not about Governor Ron DeSantis.
I know. He just, like, blew it right off. I mean, these guys are big donors for a really long time.
Blow it off. I said, listen, I look at the Biden administration every darn day, and they're a train wreck. I look at the DeSantis administration, and I think, by and large, they're doing a heck of a job.
I'm not saying
so. Of course, my opinion's going to be different.
No, I know, but you just kind of blew it off. But it's been national news for a while, and I love the gov too.
It's not a blow off, but I understand where it's coming from.
It's coming from the AP News. It's
They're reporting on what the DeSantis haters are saying. But let's get back to this. Is this the right call by Biden and the FDA, or does DeSantis have it right? People ought to have a choice to have these treatments. An update on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic coming up here in 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando. Headlines now. The top Republican in the U.S. Senate praising President Biden's response to the Russia-Ukraine crisis. Mitch McConnell says the White House is moving in the right direction by putting troops on alert for possible deployment. Russia insists it has no plans for military action. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories are promised to you on Good Morning Orlando.
You're never more than 10 minutes away from the latest news, weather, and traffic. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Text line on fire. Get to you in a second, but I want to go to the phone right now and welcome in Amy from Celebration. You're on with the Bud Man, Alan, Melissa, and Joshua. Welcome to Good Morning Orlando. What are your thoughts on all of this, Amy?
Good morning, Bud. Thank you for all you do. I called before about the babies, but now I'm calling about my daughter, who personally received the monoclonal antibodies. She went to an ER, and the ER sent her home without anything. Her COVID issues got worse, and we finally brought her to a place, and she got better the next few days.
Now, was that the Delta variant, the Delta, which worked well, the monoclonals worked well to clear that up, but not so well, they say, on Omicron. Do you know if it was Delta or Omicron she had?
It probably was Delta at that time, but...
Now, and let me ask you then, Amy, how do you feel right now? I want your answer to this question about the federal government pulling the plug on the Regeneron and the Eli Lilly monoclonal antibody therapies that DeSantis made available here and had been effective at one point.
But I am so happy. My husband was in the military. We are retired in Florida, and I only can praise Governor DeSantis. He is amazing, and I am upset about what they did again. More options are better than none.
Thank you very much, Amy. I appreciate it. I think it's about choice and options. You know, you can't drive everybody to a vaccine. And if they feel that this is effective for them and it's out there, all of a sudden, bang, it's gone. I don't think it's right.
But with that logic, Bud, why don't we just make everything available to everybody?
Yeah, I heard heroin works.
Yeah, you know, whether it's bleach or whatever, or, you know, ivermectin, whatever you believe in, you know, whether the FDA approves or not, who cares?
I'd
just
like
go
to
ahead.
Take Joe Grogan as a yeah, therapist. Yeah, just
go okay, I think I know where my mates are going on all of this. On the text line, as I say, a lot of activity here. Yeah, Bud, there is a connection between all of a sudden, the Biden administration got a big defeat because they had to drop their business vaccine mandate. What happened to my body, my choice? Liberals need to understand this is what a one-payer system looks like. Wake up, people. This is the Democrats' government in charge of your health care, says Tom in Malabar. Let me see. Alan, the vaccine is not 100% effective, so... why pull the FDA approval on the monoclonal if it's not 100% effective?
I never said vaccines were 100% effective.
They assume.
I said we've seen that they are effective, but we haven't had the evidence on the monoclonal antibody treatments, at least not that I have seen.
Oh, I know. What?
One more texture, if I may. People absolutely should have a choice. I take vitamins every day. Probably don't need them. I eat a balanced diet, but I take them anyways. It's a very troubling and scary time when the government withholds medication from you.
You know, with all due respect to our caller, Amy, and I'm very pleased that her daughter is better and got over COVID. She had the monoclonal antibody treatments. But do we know for sure it was those treatments that got her better, or she just made her way through the symptoms and got better on her own and would have done that with or without those treatments? How do we know?
Well, we don't know. That's the thing. But we do know that the monoclonal antibodies cost $3,000 a pop. And yes, hydroxychloroquine did work, does work, and is a lot cheaper. But apparently doctors aren't allowed to prescribe it. Try Plaquenil. Same stuff.
Next hour, I've got the cure for shark fears in Volusia County.
Move.
right now. I got a cure for the blues on this dark, dank morning. Move.
Stay off the beach.
Stop.
Stay landbound.
Stop it.
Yeah.
The cure for the blues. How'd you like to win $1,000 right now in our keyword contest? Go to the website, WFLAOrlando.com. Enter the keyword bank. You could have a grand in your hand. New keyword coming 12 times a day right after the top of the hour news. Oh, who's your best friend? The Mudman's brainstorm for Volusia County and all those sharks people are scared about. The Mudman's plan for Operation Shark Watch in 10 minutes. You're in the presence of genius.
We're waiting with bated breath. Literally, bated breath.
In the meantime, why don't you use a little of that bated breath to update us on what's going on in the legislature?
Well, Bud, a bill that would require professional sports teams to play the national anthem before every home game in Florida is clearing a legislative hurdle. A Florida House subcommittee approved the bill on a 12-4 vote. Cape Coral Republican Mike Gia Lombardo says the measure is about patriotism.
The national anthem and our flag has been a symbol of unity and freedom. Everybody pauses just to do one thing. It's the one thing that we all have that we can come together and we agree upon.
Opponents of the measure include Sunrise Democrat Dan Daly.
Freedom also means the freedom not to do something as well. And so if a sports franchise for some reason opts to not play the national anthem, they should be given that opportunity.
The bill requires the playing of the anthem at pro sporting events held at taxpayer-funded venues. This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. The bill named for murder victim Mia Marcano is undergoing major changes in the state legislature. Mia's law originally required background checks for apartment complex employees and restrictions on the handling of master keys. State Senator Linda Stewart of Orlando says those sections have been removed and the bill has been gutted. A woman is facing charges for allegedly sickening 5 Osceola County students. Deputies say the students had to go to the hospital after the 18-year-old woman gave them edible gummies, which they ingested on the campus of Celebration High School. There's no word on the students' conditions. In South Florida, a priest is asking for forgiveness for what the Archdiocese of Miami calls a lapse. Trey Thomas explains.
The Archdiocese announced yesterday that Monsignor Chanel Gianti, who serves as pastor at St. James Catholic Church, has fathered a child. Catholic priests take a vow of celibacy and are forbidden from having romantic relationships or getting married. Gianti says he has no plans of leaving his North Miami parish. Trey Thomas, News Radio, WFLA, Orlando.
So will he be defrocked? I mean, are they going to tolerate this or what? I wonder.
Well, you know, he's saying everyone always calls me father, so, you know.
And now he is one.
Antonio Brown is considering legal action after being let go by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The wide receiver claims he was forced to play with an ankle injury. Brown told HBO last night the team offered him a settlement to sit out the season and enter mental health treatment.
Screwed the Bucs by running away in the middle of that game. Never had him for the playoffs, and now he's going to sue the Bucs. Great guy.
He's very consistent. WFLA news time is 8:35. Elsewhere. A veteran rocker is saying goodbye to Spotify. Neil Young is asking Spotify to remove his music because of COVID vaccine misinformation being spread on that streaming platform. In a letter that appeared briefly on his website, Young said, Spotify is spreading fake information about vaccines and potentially causing death to those who believe the disinformation being spread by them. Neil Young made particular note of podcaster Joe Rogan, who's been accused of spreading debunked theories about the COVID vaccine. His letter said, Spotify can have Rogan or Young, not both.
Wow.
Kind of funny. A lot of people went, oh, Neil's still alive?
Can he make Spotify do what he wants them to do here? I mean, can he get that done?
I believe they can't play his music without his permission.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's sort of that way.
Mm-hmm. A British company plans to launch a TV and movie production studio and sports arena. The unique thing is they're going to do it in space. I just like that Lost in Space theme.
It's good.
Space Enterprise Entertainment, also known as SEA, is currently co-producing the upcoming Tom Cruise space movie. We've heard about that.
Yeah.
They've rolled out plans to build a space station module holding a sports and entertainment arena and a content studio by December 2024. The module is intended to host films, TV shows, music, and sports events, along with artists, producers, and creative types who want to create content in a low-orbit, microgravity environment. It'll be called C1.
That's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to the first, you know, couple of efforts where they're actually in space doing things you can't do on the ground. That'll be good.
I'm interested in the music and sports events in space. Are there bands that are going to be ready to go to outer space to play? Sports teams that'll play?
Oh, I hadn't looked at it that far.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
I've always wanted to throw a football in space.
Oh.
He's also planning a trip to the moon. It's on his bucket list.
I do want to go to the moon. That would be fun.
Can you imagine cranking up and throwing a football in space? And it keeps going for all eternity.
Or even on the moon, 1/6 the gravity of Earth.
Yeah, that'd be really fun.
And finally, the California Highway Patrol routinely makes traffic stops and finds marijuana or other drugs. But some days, everything lines up just right. Last weekend, officers stopped a driver in Bakersfield and found hundreds of pounds of illegally processed pot in his car.
Is that a joint, man?
The stop was made on Stoner Drive. The car was towed and the driver arrested. Find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com and listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere. With Alan Spector.
So you love the beaches of Volusia County, but you know it gets more shark bites than any other place on Earth, and it's happened again in the latest report. Stay tuned. I've come up with something to make everybody feel safe going in the water in Volusia County. Operation Shark Watch from the Budman in a moment. And then let me know what you think. It's a brilliant idea. After we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando. Headlining a story we've already earmarked for talk tomorrow on the show. Could be a lot easier for some students to get into college shortly. They can start taking the SAT test online in 2 years. Online. The admission test is going to be fully digital, allowing calculators, personal laptops, and promising shorter reading sections and cutting the test length from 3 hours to two. Oh, nothing could go wrong there. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Updates at least every 10 minutes on the top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1. Still on FM 93.1. News Radio WFLA Orlando. And still on AM 540.
I want to talk to you about the Budman's idea for making everybody feel safe swimming in the waters of New Smyrna Beach, Volusia County, once again rated as the shark bite capital of the world, okay? Listen, ever since our family came to Central Florida, and we have loved it so, this was back in the 80s, we have loved the beach as our favorite place to go, and New Smyrna Beach, the best of all. We love it. But I have to tell you, many members of my family now will not go in the water beyond ankle deep because of fear of sharks. And I know a lot of other people who either don't go to the beach anymore or when they go can't fully enjoy it because they're scared to death to get out there in the water because they're going to get bitten by a shark, even though the chance is remote. But it is statistically the shark bite capital of the world. So what is my Operation Shark Watch all about? Let me tell you. If you go out into the water, because of the reflections and the angle you're at down that close to the water, you cannot see down into the water. You just can't for any distance, maybe right around you, but that's not enough. If there's a shark out there 10, 20 feet away or a quarter mile away, you cannot see it. And the lifeguards on the stands are not up high enough to see it. This idea came to me when I watched somebody out there with a drone put the video up on YouTube about a year ago. He had a drone with a camera, and he took it right at the waterline and went up, 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 and suddenly the reflections were gone, and you could look down, and there were sharks, and you could see them, and they were frighteningly close to people who are out there thrashing around in the water, riding the waves like I've loved to do for years, or out there on a float or whatever else. You can see it if you get the drone up looking straight down. So they charge us $20 a car now. It used to be $5, then $10, then $20 to get on the beach. You got to use some of that money to buy and operate a fleet of drones that fly, I don't know, 100 feet in the air, the length of the beach just offshore, back and forth all day. You can keep a battery-charged drone in the air for at least a half an hour. That should be enough to cruise like the pelicans do right along the waterline when they're looking for fish, okay? And in the meantime, at the lifeguard stands, you have a big green light. That means it's okay out there. No sharks. Get out there in the water like anywhere you want to go. Don't fear it. If the drone spot sharks, all of a sudden there is a red light that starts to flash. No noise, no sirens. You take a look at it. You got a green light, you're out there. You got a red light flashing. You get out of the water. You tell the kids to get out of the water until you get the green light again. And the drone fleet goes back and forth up and down the length of New Smyrna Beach. Put some of that $20 a car to use on that. Operation Shark Watch, and eliminate the fear that you're ever going to get a shark bite at New Smyrna Beach.
I just like to let you know that the Australians think you may have stolen their idea from 6 years ago because they've been doing high-tech shark spotting drones for a long time. But the problem is cost, okay? Yeah, they can identify 16 different objects, sharks, whales, dolphins, surfers, you know, things like that, boats, objects of interest. It's nice. It helps. It definitely makes the beach more secure. But do we not have some sort of a shark management set up for the state already? Isn't there money for that? Well, they do that in Australia. They have shark management.
Well, I don't know what shark management is.
Which is why we got beaten.
But you, with all due respect, you need an immediate piece of information. Now, okay? Now we have sharks. Get out of the water or go to ankle deep. You got a green light? You're fine. And you've got this fleet going back and forth. Believe me, you ever seen how many cars there are in New Smyrna Beach all summer long and most of the year? $20 a pop. There's money. They just need to move it around.
So
it's my idea for Operation Shark Watch. What do you think of my brilliant idea? Is this the answer to eliminating shark fears and Volusia County beaches? Let us know. 407-916-5400, text line 23680. We're talking about it as we cruise toward 9 o'clock with an update now for the final time in 2 minutes here on to the news, weather, and traffic on Good Morning Orlando. Headlines here, SpaceX rocket is on track to crash into the moon in just weeks. Astronomers think it's going to hit in early March after floating as space junk for almost 7 years. About time we spread the wealth and the Earth didn't get all the junk falling down. The moon gets some. The rocket blasted off from the Cape in 2015 to send a weather satellite on a journey, but it didn't have enough fuel to fly back. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
The latest news and a place to talk about it. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Well, what about it? Is my Operation Shark Watch?
Someone on the text line called you Chief Brody. Anyone get the reference other than me?
Sure, Jaws, of course.
There you go.
Roy Scheider.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
A texter, I agree 100% with you, bud. Another, love your idea, innovative. Another, sounds fishy. Another, people will sue the county if they get a bite, blame the city. It's just, you know, some disclaimers in the fine print of when you pay your $20 that this is no guarantee, but we're doing what we can innovatively to reduce the danger of you ever getting a shark bite and reduce your fears so you go in the water and have fun.
Yeah, I mean, this might be great for those who, who've been, you know, fearful of the water and maybe stay away from the beach because of that. If this is a foolproof way to make sure you're not going to get bitten by a shark, then, you know, maybe it would have, you know, an up to...
It would. You know, have you ever heard of a thing called bait fish? They're the little silver fish. There's a whole bunch of them. You can see them, like, up out of the water when a shark is coming. Sure. Hint, when a shark is coming, you see all these fish, and then you look and you go, look, bait fish. I must get out of the water. Pretty simple stuff. I mean, I grew up on an island. I know. He's from Florida. He's got the same kind of thing, right?
Yeah, every summer we always went to the beach. My grandparents owned a couple of timeshares down at the beach, so that's something we did every year. My issue with the whole drone idea is I think at the level that you were describing, it could get away in the way of, like, the seagulls and some of the other wildlife that's out there. And even if it does, what's the threshold for the distance from a shark to a person? Like, that, I feel like that light would be red a long time during the day, and people that maybe are unafraid would be like,
well, they ought to conduct some experiments on that. I grant you, okay? You got a green light and a red light on each lifeguard stand. Swim near the lifeguard stands. That's always been the advice, right? And it stays green if the drones aren't seeing any sharks, and it starts flashing red if they do, and to see exactly how that goes. I think they could invest a little bit of money and run some experiments on this strategy, and I think it could be a great thing for people
out
there.
Well, you know, Josh mentioned the possible danger to wildlife, but what about those planes that drag the banners that tell us what the specials are at the pier? I mean,
they fly
we don't have any problems
higher
with that. Wildlife seem to handle that.
Oh, so we're going that high with the drones. I just, by the way, you described it seemed like they were closer to the ocean.
I don't know. I think this guy probably put it that when I saw the YouTube video where suddenly you could see the sharks down below that you couldn't see because of the angle and the glare at New Smyrna Beach. And I would guess by the aerial look of that, he's up 100 feet.
I would like to suggest that you put that money into what we call shark nets. A net that keeps the sharks a certain amount out to sea. I mean, I'm sure they can go round it. But a shark net, much, much less expensive than drones and someone to watch them and testing to see the time limits and red and green
lights.
Who's
going to get out there and you know, catch all of the other fish who get trapped in the net? We're trying to get sharks. Who's going to go out there?
They're not going to get trapped in the net. It'll be like a fence.
Yeah, shark fence.
Huh? I was thinking of a fence, like just set aside a chunk of the beach like that, but obviously have a certain part that doesn't have
we
it.
We do
for
that
surfers
on the island all the time.
But said that, at some point the fence ends.
Yes, but they're smart enough to go around, that's fine, and you only swim where the lifeguard tower is, right?
We're all brainstorming here. Nothing is 100%, bud.
No, come on, man. No, it's his idea of the highway. I heard it.
Oh, I didn't say that. I just think, why aren't they doing this?
I'm waiting for our suspicious listeners to chime in and say, hey, it's government surveillance.
Well, normally that's what they say.
I want to make out with my girlfriend on the beach and not worry about a drone videotaping us.
One of our listeners texted and wanted to know why it's called a shark bite, not a shark attack. And that's because very rarely do sharks attack. We actually stupidly run ourselves into them. They're just grazing for food.
So the reality of this situation with the sharks that are invisible to most of us in this final text, and we'll go. A number of years ago, I was on a flight returning to Orlando. We were low enough to see clearly the ocean as we started over land, but one image eternally shocked me. The visual of hundreds of sharks swimming uncomfortably close to thousands of unsuspecting and carefree swimmers with no idea of what was lurking merely feet away. It has always been this way, but you enjoy the beach more when one doesn't dwell on it. Operation Shark Watch.
We didn't say anyone
drones
died.
Green light on the lifeguard stand,
net,
flashing
swim beaches,
red light
a net
when the drone says, look what we see that you don't.
Annette.
Operation Shark Watch. Annette, is she working here now?
Yeah.
We're Alan and Melissa and Josh the Bud Band. Have a great day. Thanks for dropping by. See you tomorrow morning from 6 until 9. Until then, thank you. God bless you and God bless America.
Program were pre-recorded.